Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. If you're searching for that great wine and you're looking around to see where it is, sometimes it's under your nose and in your backyard. And it is in Dahlonega at Frogtown Winery. And we brought in the owner, Craig Kreister, in the studio with us. And Craig, I have learned more in the last few minutes with Craig than I have in a lifetime of doing this show, Atlanta Living. So this hour is all about wine and how to taste, how to pick out that perfect bottle of wine. And we want you, if you have questions for Craig, give us a call, 404-872-0750. If you've been to Frogtown, give us a call. That's 404-872-0750. So, Craig, first of all, I have to know, Frogtown, that's an unusual name, and you're in the middle of Dahlonega. How did this name come about?
The area where the winery is located is Lubbock County, but the Cherokee Indians had an area that they called Wallasee, the place of the frog. That area extended all the way to North Carolina, South Carolina. When Lumpkin County put together their various sections of the county, they chose to preserve where the winery is, the historical name of Wallasee, but the translation is the place of the frog.
Okay.
And English-speaking people don't necessarily talk with the place of anything,
right.
So it was anglicized to Frogtown.
Frogtown. Okay, you have a past career as an attorney and did that for a while and then decided to give that up and become a winemaker. And so was this just a whim? Is this something you've wanted to do your whole life? How did this come about?
Well, first of all, being a lawyer is the best preparation for being a farmer. You work all the time. And when I was practicing law, I collected, maybe as many as 4,000 bottles of investment-grade Bordeaux bottles and developed a pretty extensive palate for Bordeaux varietals. Got to be about 50 years old, and my law firm was kind of changing from an entrepreneurial-based endeavor to a more institutionalized endeavor, and it just did not appeal to me to be a part of meetings. I don't do good in meetings. As a group of partners, we used to meet in the hall going to the restroom or something like that and make all our major decisions that way. Having meetings with lots of different people, lots of junior partners, wasn't something that I look forward to.
Right.
So in 1997, after having my best year of production ever, I told my partners that
So you were doing this on the side while you were practicing law?
No, actually, in 97, what I did on the side was drink. You gotta drink if you practice law. There's no question about it. It's as simple as that. But in 97, the only way I could leave, I have a tremendous passion. I'm really blessed. I've had two things in my life, the practice of law and now wine growing and wine making, that I'm really passionate about. Also had tremendous contact and relationships with my clients. So the only way that I felt I could leave the practice of law was to go cold turkey, and that's what I did. So I left. The law firm pursuant to our partnership agreement, quote, required me to stay of counsel for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of involved, but most of that 5 year period, I was developing my vineyard in Dahlonega.
Okay, so what year did you start Frogtown?
I bought the property, the main part of the property in 1998. Then we bought another section in 1999. We had our first planting. In fact, this is our 20th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Can't believe it. 20th anniversary of our first planting, which was 10,000 vines. That sounds like a lot, but if you consider today, I have 24,000 vines in Georgia and 88,000 vines in California and two separate vineyards there.
Wow, this is tremendous. So when you started your vineyard in Dahlonega, how many others? Was this the boom of the North Georgia winemaking?
It was the first wave, let's say, of the new grape growing winemaking in North Georgia. Traditionally, I'll just mention two names, Chateau Alain, vintage 1983, mm-hmm. and Habersham around the same time. And as a matter of fact, we have the Georgia Farm Winery Act because of the lobbying efforts of Chateau Alain. And there's a lot of benefits that we have that Georgia has granted us under that provision, the Georgia Farm Winery Act. So we're part of the, I guess, the modern wave, I guess, if you want to put it that way. And it occurred around 1999, 2000, 2001.
Okay, so you have over 100 different wines that you produce. Is that correct?
We produce about 25 different wines every
okay,
year.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood
you. Yeah, we're a little unusual. You need to understand that to make 1,000 gallons of a wine is basically the same effort as 100 gallons of wine. So most winemakers are adverse to making a lot of different wines. Well, that's just part of our business plan. So I make every year at least 20 different Frogtown labeled wines. And we also have a label called Oglethorpe, because Oglethorpe, of course, is the founder of Georgia.
Right.
And one of the four directors that he had when he came to Georgia was to develop a wine industry. So I think that's kind of neat. And we also have Appalachian Fall and Appalachian Spring labels. So we have a few different labels. All total, we make about 5,500 cases a year.
Good grief. Well, we are drinking a double gold medal red right now, and we'll talk about how you got there. But first, let's back up, and there are some do's and don'ts about how to drink wine and how to taste wine. So since we're starting with a red, how do you taste and open a red?
One thing that you should do, everybody, when you're in a restaurant, is that there is a procedure that the steward, sommelier, or even just the server will go through. And the purpose of that procedure is to make sure that you think the wine is good. Well, what you can't do is send back a wine that you don't like. What you can do is send back a wine that's defective. So it's very important that you smell the wine in front of the person who poured you the wine before you put it in your mouth. And if it smells really good, then proceed and put it in your mouth. If there's any question about whether the wine is good, you might have that server have a smell of the wine or even a taste of the wine before you put it in your mouth, because remember, you can't send back a wine that you don't like, only one that's defective. So adhere to the procedure and make sure that you're getting a good bottle of wine according to your estimation. And it's okay if you're wrong. If you think it's defective and somebody comes over and explains to you that it's not defective, well, no harm. There's no penalty in that. You still only get charged the same amount as you agreed to when they open the bottle. So make sure that the wine is good, because historically about as much as 5% of all bottled wines have a taint, and that taint is from the cork. So the other thing that you should do normally is when the wine is open, smell the cork. And if it smells musty or like cardboard.
Generally, they don't bring you the cork, though.
Ask for it.
Okay.
Ask for it. So if it tastes sort of cardboard, like cardboard, or if it's musty, mm-hmm. wet dog is another description I would have. The good chance that there's TCA, that's a taint. But anyhow, normally it doesn't occur. Like I said, only maybe 5%. In Frogtown, we're less than 1%. That's because of a few things, primarily the quality of the cork that we buy. We buy cork on the very expensive side rather than on the cheap.
Are you all corked wine, no screw top?
Yeah, you know, I think that 2,000 years of experience with corks tells me that if it ain't broken, that you really want to continue to do that. And I see no reason to change.
Is it getting
change.
More expensive? Because we're, they're having problems with cork and manufacturing it because of the cork tree or wherever it comes from.
Actually, we pay about the same as we paid 20 years ago for cork. So I don't really think that it has translated down because of another development. That is, the cork manufacturers got religion.
Oh.
So when you have screw tops and you have these alternate closures, synthetic corks, what it did is make the cork industry take note that they better get their business in line so that it becomes more competitive with less taint.
Okay. We have more to learn about wine tasting, and that's red and white. You're listening to Atlanta Living, and we're talking about Frogtown Wines from Dahlonega. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Let's quickly give away the weekend prize pack. That's for a family of four to the Atlanta Great Tiny House Show. That's, have you been in those? They are adorable. That's June the 1st through the 2nd at the Infinite Energy Arena. And that's going to caller number 3 to our contest line at 404-741-0750. That's 404-741-0750. If you're curious or just want to check them out to see if that's something that you want to do, the Great American Tiny House Show, June 1st through the 2nd, Infinite Energy Arena. Caller number 3. Okay, back to Frogtown Cellars, and Craig Kreister is in the studio with us. You drove all the way down from Dahlonega.
Yeah, it's a little different than Dahlonega traffic.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? At least it's a Saturday.
Yeah, you know, we're very upset, Usums from Dahlonega, because they installed a third traffic light downtown.
Oh, I bet that has you in an uproar.
Really, it's really inconvenient.
Okay. Well, let's talk about something great, and that's this red wine that we're drinking, the Nebbiolo. And it is a double gold medal winner. And from North Georgia, from Georgia. So brag a little bit.
Well, the listeners need to understand that Frogtown wines contain no sugar. So they're vinified dry, and sugar is never added to a Frogtown labeled wine. Just like
wow.
European Bordeaux, Burgundy, Italian wines, where the government will put you in jail and fine you a lot of money and
Seriously?
You lose your license if you put any sugar in any of those wines. So Frogtown has adopted European standards voluntarily because it's only pure dry wines that you get the most enjoyment out of drinking and also pairing with food. The Nebbiolo has won a double gold. What that means is some of these competitions could have 7,000 wines judged.
Wow.
And the Nebbiolo is our fourth double gold medal winning wine in a row. And it's at major competitions. What it means is that let's say there are 7,000 wines judged. There may be 30 judges. So three judges in 10 tables. Those judges award a silver, bronze, or gold. And then all the judges, after the competition is over, all the judges again taste all the gold. And if all the judges unanimously agree that it is a gold medal winning wine, there's a second gold medal. So out of some of these, out of 7,000 wines, there might be only 20, 25 double gold medal winning wines. And a small winery in North Georgia now, which does have, by the way, a national reputation, particularly it's probably better known in California than it is in Georgia. So we really are very prideful of the fact that we do so well in major competitions that are blind. They're judged blind, not by what the label says.
And it's absolutely delicious, the Nebbiolo from Frogtown Cellars. And Craig, we're going to take a break when we come down. More from our final segment from Frogtown Cellars, talking to you about how to taste. And we're going to white wine next. So stay tuned. You're listening to Atlanta Living next. WSB listeners are leaving personal memorials this Memorial Day for family members who served. You can use the open mic feature on WSB Radio app to leave a memorial as well. We'll be playing these all the way through the Memorial Day weekend, and they're very touching. And I'm glad that folks are taking the time to use it. So happy Memorial Day, and celebrate those who have gone before you to fight for your freedom. And we are having a little wine in the studio celebrating Memorial Day. And we're talking with Craig Kreister. Close enough?
You're getting there.
He tells me I'm too Appalachian. Is that a shock to anyone? No. We're talking with Frogtown Cellars and their great assortment of wines. And the white wine we're drinking, folks, you'll love it. It's called 770. And tell us a little bit about it, Craig.
Well, 770 is one of two area code wines. And the reason why we chose area codes is that we wanted to scream drink local. The best way we know is for people to identify with the wine. And so the two main area codes, I know that's probably debatable, maybe has changed, but when I was in Atlanta, the two main area codes were 770 and 404. 404 is a red wine, 770 is a white wine. We are drinking 770 now, which is a really complex wine of Viognier, Chardonnay, Petite Mansang, and a grape called Sauvignon Gris. Sauvignon Gris is a mutation of Sauvignon Blanc to a gray grape, just like Pinot Gris is a mutation of Pinot Noir into a gray grape. It's naturally occurred over the years. One of the things that we try to stress when people come to Frogtown and come for a tasting is to properly store and pour white wine correctly.
Well, let me just interrupt you, because you said earlier, do not put your wine in the trunk. I am guilty as charged, folks. It is 89 degrees outside, 90 degrees, fluctuating. So do not, you said, put your wine in the trunk.
Yeah, we don't need to cook wine. And that's exactly what happens in a trunk, particularly today is in the 90s. Your trunk inside could be 100 degrees. It doesn't take many minutes for wine to be absolutely spoiled at that temperature.
I never even thought about it. So I've got to go and take some things. I'm going out of town. I'm going to Chattanooga as soon as we get off the air. And I've got to go rearrange the trunk in the next commercial break and take some things out.
Well, if you have any constraint inside your car, you're the type of person we want to come to Frogtown, because we could load lots of wine in your back seat.
So, yes, yeah. I've got a big back seat. So yeah, come on. Yeah. Okay, tell us about 770.
770, again, is a complex, very, very complex white wine. The art of winemaking in many instances is the blending of different grapes. At Frogtown, we grow 8 different white grapes and 13 different red grapes. So we have a lot of different grapes. And people ask me, well, why do you grow so many grapes? And I say normally, did you ever hear a piano with 2 keys? Ooh. It's hard to make a lot of good music when you only have 2 keys. So the more varietals you have, the more you can practice your art as a winemaker. So there are 4 different grapes in here. Most important, what I want to mention is how to drink and store white wine correctly. The first thing is never put it in, of course, your trunk.
Got it.
But also, you may think that you're doing good, but you're actually doing very bad if you put white wine in your refrigerator.
Guilty.
That's a no-no. It is way, way too cold. And if you take wine that you have stored in your refrigerator, put it in a glass and put it in your mouth, hopefully you haven't paid that much for the white wine that you're doing that with. Because coldness takes away all or substantially all of the flavors, the nuances. 39 degrees, 40, 45 degrees, even 50 degrees is too cold for any wine because we want the wine to volatilize in our mouth. The way we taste is by smell. So we want the wine to be active in our mouth, not to cool down the 98 degrees of our mouth, but we want our mouth to volatilize a wine that, let's say, is 55, 60 degrees on the white side.
Okay.
So never put the wine in the refrigerator. Always store the wine ambient temperature. Your kitchen, as long as it's out of sunlight and not near a heater or something like that, normally our temperature that we keep our homes is fine. And when you get ready to drink the white wine, all you need to do is put it in the freezer for 5 to 7 minutes, and it will impart the exact temperature you should enjoy the wine.
Do you know the storage space that you just cleared up in my refrigerator? I have room for lots of stuff now.
Well, you could put a lot of bad wine in there.
I could put a lot of bad wine. Okay, so when we're pouring our white wine, what is the proper way to drink it, smell it, taste it? Because you told me earlier that we don't taste, now correct me if I'm wrong, we don't taste with our tongue and our mouth, we taste with our nose.
Correct.
Okay.
So your brain, the way your brain works, it works off of your olfactory nerves in terms of smell or taste. And that's exactly why you shouldn't put cold white wine in your mouth, because it dulls those nerves. And what your brain is telling you that, wow, that's pretty cold. There's a difference between wine and beer. Both are beverages. One, I consider refreshment, in that beer is refreshing, nothing better than a real cold beer on a hot day. Well, when we're making wine in September and it's 95 degrees out there, we don't say, give me a bottle of Cabernet. We say, give me a bottle of beer. The colder,
the better.
Right. But wine, not so much. So what you want to do is make sure that you give your sensory perceptions a chance to work. To do that, you have to have the wine in your mouth at the right temperature.
Okay. So we've got to take it out of the refrigerator, chill it at the last minute for just a few minutes in the freezer. Don't forget it.
Don't put it in the refrigerator. Don't even think about putting
it in. I said take it out of the refrigerator, put it in the freezer.
No, don't take it out of the refrigerator. Never put it in the refrigerator.
Never put it there. Right. Okay.
Right. And then when you get ready, It just stored in ambient temperature, like in a closet or something, just out of sunlight. So you never put it in the refrigerator. You always put it in the freezer if it's white, only for 5 to 7 minutes. And okay. Take it out, open it, and really enjoy it. It'll be the right temperature. You'll really be able to taste and enjoy the wines. And also, a point that I'd like to make is that most people don't spend money on white wine as much as they spend money on red. It's just the way it is. So lots of people that we have tasting have never really tasted really beautiful premium white wines with the finesse and character of a premium white. So that's the other thing. If you really want to get into white wines, you really need to have a really good bottle of white. It doesn't have to be a $150 bottle of white Burgundy, Chardonnay. There is other things that you could buy that are less expensive, but it can't be anything like a jug wine. It just does not work. Does not work.
Now, something I think that we need to brag on Frogtown Cellars about is that you grow all the grapes that you use, meaning you don't buy them from other growers to make your wine with.
That's correct. We are what you call a state winery. When you go and turn our bottle on the back, the federal government requires every winery to state their involvement in the growing and the making of the wine. So the involvement an estate winery has is grown, produced, and bottled. And that's the most involvement anybody can have. I hate to say this because of my age, but in many respects, Frogtown and myself are a dying breed of winemakers because it's very unusual for the wine grower, the one that really does have full responsibility of growing the grapes, mm-hmm. also makes the wine. That's historically what the chateaus were like in many, many years ago. Everything's becoming more corporate. I understand that, even in France. But still, make sure if you really want to taste a terroir wine, that is wine that has a sense of place. The only way to find it is with a wine that's produced by an estate winery.
Excellent. And that's what the term, when you see estate wine on the label, that's what that means. We're going to take our final break. We'll come back with our final segment with Frogtown Cellars right after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Check back often for breaking news, Kirk Mellis weather, and traffic red alerts all weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
In the studio with Craig Kreitzer. Everybody cheer.
Wow. You're more beautiful when you're right.
I started to say something. Oh, but we're talking about Frogtown Cellars and their great wines that they have to offer from Dahlonega. And Craig, tell us a little bit about the 200 most list that you've currently been on.
I think I started saying earlier that I've been blessed in my life. I had a passion of practicing law, started with another attorney and a secretary in 1974. And when I retired from that law firm, we had 60 lawyers and 90 in staff. So that was a real successful, and I was very prideful of that accomplishment, mm-hmm. that not only me, but a lot of really, really good lawyers and really good staff assisted us. And about 4 years ago, a wine club member called me up and said, or sent me a email, said, "Congratulations, you're one of America's 100 most influential wine makers."
That's fantastic.
I emailed back, I said, "I'm glad you're drinking Frogtown wine, but you can hallucinate if you drink too much Frogtown wine." And he says, "No, I'm not hallucinating." And go into intowine.com and look for your name. You're on that list. And that list was followed by another list that provided the 100 most influential people in the wine industry. And that was about 9 months ago. And sure enough, I was on that list also. So we're just thrilled. But again, it's not about me. It's about Frogtown. It's about the vineyard. It's about the people that work in Frogtown. And yes, I'm a pretty big spoke in the wheel, but there are a lot of other spokes. So just not me.
Well, I'm not surprised at all, because you are a mover and a shaker in this industry in Dahlonega, and you've done so much to put Frogtown on the map and put it where it is. If people want to try your wine, what do they need to do?
The best way to do that is to come to the winery, and hopefully don't come between 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock on a Saturday. We are challenged really severely to get good tastings, quality tastings done, and good food served. Any time during the week. And I was thinking about this as I was coming. If you would like to have, because of WSB and allowing Frogtown to be a part of this program, if you would email me, Craig, C-R-A-I-G, dot Frogtown, F-R-O-G-T-O-W-N, @gmail.com. That's my private kind of Frogtown account. So it's craig.frogtown@gmail.com. And if enough of you email me, perhaps we can get back to you and I could have the pleasure of conducting your tasting.
Oh, that would be great. Craig, thank you so much. And Frogtown sellers, thank you so much for providing the wine for today. Stay tuned. Coming up, have you ever wondered where the hamburger originated? We're going to talk about that. Coming your way next, you're listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.